After all, if you hold political power, can feed people and entertain them with circuses, you're bound to have multitudes who will at least go through the notion of evasion. Was Jesus to be another Caesar? That was the issue to be decided at the beginning of his ministry during the temptation. He had just been anointed for his task as the Messiah, when he was propelled by the Spirit out into the desert to wrestle with the simple question, what kind of kingdom shall it be that I came to inaugurate? And for 40 days, Jesus fasted, reflecting on the scenario that he knew from eternity, ending in the cross and the resurrection. How would one create a people glad to do God's will? How could it? The desert was the place to find out, because that's where God had once taken Israel and let it hunger a while, let it fast, in order that it might eat manna. The memory of his baptism and the substance of what the voice had said was fresh in the memory of our Lord. He'd been called the Son of God, and having been anointed as the Son of God, as the Messiah, would it not be simple just to speak to the stones and turn them into bread? That's a much easier way to gather a following than on the path to the cross. Because this would elicit the acclaim of countless thousands, as witness the fact that after he had fed 5,000 once in the desert, they did immediately want to make him a king. But there was a word of scripture in the very section which described Israel's experience with God. It said something about man, that he wasn't the kind of creature that could live only by bread. He's more than what he eats. He has to have something that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we hurry on from "give us this day our daily bread" to "forgive us our trespasses." Man simply does not live by bread alone, as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. This was Jesus' response to the demonic insinuation, "if you are the Son of God, why not make bread out of stone? Solve the problem of world hunger by fiat." But there's another way of gaining a following, and that is by putting on a spectacle. The devil took Jesus to the holy city and suggested to him that he jump down from the pinnacle, the ringlet of the temple, down below, unhurt, to the pavement. That would bring people around. They would gasp and exclaim and gossip about this. And if the name of the game was using scripture, Satan can do that too. And like many theologians today, he recognized the power of scripture. It always drives Satan away. It has a repelling force to evil. But he used it, somewhat distorted, but never mind, the text is pretty closely represented. It says something about being protected by angels as you fly down from the pinnacle of the temple to the pavement below. That kind of temptation required a direct counterattack, and Jesus responded by saying, "But it has also been written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." To the cunning but shallow eyes of the tempter, another possibility suggested itself. There was a prospect of supposing that all the glory and all the power of the political kingdoms of the world be transferred over to Jesus of Nazareth on very easy terms. All he would need to do was to fall down for a moment and worship the Satan. There's no posture in here, only political power to get hold of. But Jesus had come as a strong man and to spoil his house. How could he spoil the household if he joined it? "Begone," he said, "off with you. God alone deserves to be worshipped. And from this moment on, it was war to the knife. The kingdom of God for Sarah must not be like the empires of this world, and that's the essence of the temptation. The question was whether Jesus was going to mess his enterprise into the little schemes and systems that we have in our fallen existence. In his kingdom, there must sound a voice, the sound of heavenly truth, so that men whose ears are tuned to the truth can recognize the voice of God. For this proceeds from the mouth of God and brings life. So look at that old city where they used to cry dead and circuses. It is only a monument today, and monuments are very dead indeed. The tourist wanders over the Palatine today and peers down the church walls of Caesar's palaces, and the antiquarian rummages around where Nero's fish ponds once been, and climbs upon the top tiers of the Colosseum, from which all the culture and beauty and fashion of Rome once looked down on Christian martyrs and the fangs of tigers. What is to be found here except the reach of death? And in the realm of God's providence, we can expect little more. It is provisional after the fall. For everything is subject to change and decay. In contradistinction, Israel of old had been taken out into the wilderness by an act of God's grace. There he had his people hunger a while, fast a while, in order to feed them with manna, something extraordinary. And man, for the first time again, ate the bread of angels, Psalm 78. He was sustained, moreover, by water from a miraculous rock, far beyond the clear of providence. He had come to recover paradise and not to create some utopia. No one had gone this way before. I choose the cross, he said, and get thee hence, Satan. I came to fall, so that I may partake of the manner of the Father's good pleasure. And so, as I text scripture, when the devil left him, behold, angels came to minister to him. The soft rustle of their wings brought not only fire to a weary and exhausted spirit, but angels' food was prepared for the Son of Man. Later on, during his own life, only one of these creatures, or only one, came to strengthen his creator in the garden. At the cross, there wasn't even that one, where even his father had forsaken him. But those moments will come later. Right now, you and I have been propelled by the Spirit, as Jesus was, working through word and sacrament into our 40 days of Lent. And by this liturgical discipline, we are to learn that fasting precedes the eating of manna. Your ministry will be one of constant Lent if you are in the service of the Son of Man. Over and again, like him, you will be tempted to leave the narrow road that leads to and from the cross to find some other more palatable service. Against those days, it is the business of this institution to show you how to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Our purpose is to form your spirit after our common model, Jesus Christ, who faced every such turning point, every temptation, with an unambiguous prayer, "It is written." You will have your 40 days during which to say again and again, "I see the cross. Be gone, Satan. I will fast so that I may have the manna from heaven." Amen. Will you turn to page 115 for the morning supper?